In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, I'd like to invite you into a practice of imagining yourself and seeing the story through the eyes of particular characters. It's a long story, and there are a lot of people. So this morning, we're going to focus on a few people, the women who are part of this story. Women appear only four times in John's Passion, which is unusual, because in the Gospel of John, women appear a lot. And women have names in the Gospel of John a lot. And so, while I won't get too technical, what I would suggest you do, if this is a sermon that highlights some curiosity for you, is to go home and read again in the Gospel of John, chapters 18 and 19, and watch, and you can skip ahead to 20 as well, and look at where women are present, and also, interestingly, where women are absent. This morning, we begin with the arrest of Jesus, which happened the night of the Last Supper, when Jesus gathered with his disciples, all of his disciples, which was more than the 12. He washed their feet. He offered them the gift of the Eucharist to remember him into eternity. He commanded them to love one another, along with many other teachings. That was also the night when his disciple, one of the 12, Judas, was sent away by Jesus to go and complete the task he had begun, which was to turn Jesus over to the authorities to be arrested. And so this morning, we are here in this, we begin at night in this garden. And this is the first place where women are present. They are not named, but they are among the disciples. Many of us have been taught that when we see the word disciple, that means the 12. But in fact, when Jesus is with the 12, the gospel writers are very specific. The disciples were all of those, women as well as men, who had left everything and followed Jesus. And the woman we know most is, of course, Mary Magdalene. And so as the soldiers come and have this incredible encounter in this garden with Jesus, as he claims, "I am the name that God offered to Moses when Moses asked for a name." There were women there too, among all his disciples. The next time we encounter a specific woman, a servant girl, she is at the gate of the chief priest's home. Simon Peter, and another disciple who is sometimes called the beloved disciple in the Gospel of John, have followed Jesus and the soldiers. Now the other disciple knows the chief priest, and so he follows into the gate But Peter waits outside until a servant girl recognizes him and lets him in. Now, all we know is she is a servant girl. She was probably at the gate not to guard the gate, because there were guards there. She was probably there to serve the guards, to get whatever they needed, food or drink, so that they wouldn't have to leave their post. And if you're one to imagine the characters, the people who are part of this moment, I think we can imagine the servant girl in a few ways. We could imagine her as quite a strong woman who can stand up to these guards who are ordering her around. And that's why she has this position. On the other hand, we could imagine a girl who has learned, as the best servants have, to be invisible. To just do what she's asked and stay out of the way. But for some reason, of all the people who would be around that night, she lets Peter into the gate. And she asks, "Are you one of this man's disciples?" And that question launches Peter into probably the most human and vulnerable encounter with the cross. One that we can all imagine. Whether someone asks us out of hostility or out of curiosity, are we able to say yes? This servant girl begins Peter's denials, which are turned later on into those beautiful affirmations when Jesus asks him to love him. The most beautiful. And so we have this servant girl who plays this incredible part, like a lot of servant women do throughout the Old Testament and well into the Gospels and into the New Testament. The next time we encounter women is in another crowd. Another crowd of women who go to the cross. And among these women, there are three. There are four. There are three. There is Jesus' mother. There is her sister who has come to be with her. There is a woman named Mary, who is the wife of Clopas, either Clopas' father or Clopas' wife. We don't know. Sorry, she's Clopas' daughter or Clopas' wife. We don't know. And some would say that Clopas is, in fact, Cleophas, who takes that walk with Jesus to Emmaus, that great story in the Gospel of Luke. And we have Mary Magdalene, these four women at the foot of the cross. All through the violence of Jesus' crucifixion, we don't see women. And then Jesus looks down and offers us another hand, but he does it for his mother. And he looks at his mother, and he looks at the disciple and says, "Woman, here is your son. Son, here is your mother." These women stay with Jesus until his legs are broken and he dies. Perhaps the other disciples are there as well, but the gospel writer thought it was important to name that these women were there at the foot of the cross, refusing to join in the crowd who've been around mocking him and humiliating him. You can almost imagine the mother saying to her son, "Ignore them, just look at me." And they stay through
all of that,
through
Jesus' death, until
he is taken. So what? There are so much. The cross carries so many layers of meaning for each one of us every single Good Friday. So what are some of the layers that are taught to us by the women of the crucifixion? First, that women have always been and always will be a critical part of the salvation story alongside men. Second, that
women
are calling on the church, that there are people all over the world who are calling on us to claim the gospel and proclaim it, as the servant girl did for Peter. Challenging us, are we ready? Are we ready to go to the cross and stand for everything that we say? True women, we learn that the way of the cross is a way that does not respond to violence with God. In the garden, the women witnessed Jesus telling Peter to put his sword away. And we witness again Jesus on the cross, never asking to be taken down. Through the women, we learn that the way of the cross is a way of pain and grief. That there is nothing in this world that will take pain and grief away from us. And also, that we are all, women and men, called to a ministry of comfort and to look beyond what we're told is the end. And finally, as we time, it is the women who are the first to proclaim that it was not the end, that Jesus has come again. But today we remain here at the cross with the women, with the disciples, with the crowds, with the soldiers, each having their own encounter with this man, this son of God, this teacher, this beloved friend. Wherever we are at the foot of the cross, we come and we are invited to bring our offering of our prayers and of our praise. Amen.